Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Many coral reef ecosystems around the world are under threat, and one approach being taken to try and revive them is to use sound. Professor Steve Simpson from the University of Bristol joins us now on News Talk. Steve, good afternoon to you.
Hi there, good afternoon.
One imagines that if you snorkel or scuba dive down to a coral reef, that there is no sound, but apparently they're quite noisy places.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, Jacques Cousteau led us down the garden path by creating the most amazing film, The Silent World, Le Monde des Silences, back in the 1950s. So we were really kind of all brought up thinking the ocean is silent. But when you go snorkeling, or better still, when we drop a hydrophone, an underwater microphone, over the side of the boat, we really start to connect with the soundscape that is being created by all the animals that live on a coral reef. They're really noisy animals, all trying to get on with their lives. It's a bustling city. And so when you put all that sound together, you've got all the kind of poop pops, whoops, gurgles, trumpeting sounds of fish, snapping of shrimps, grinding of sea urchins. And it really does make an amazing soundscape.
And all those various noises are, but are they communicating particular messages?
Some of them are, definitely. Certainly all the fish are either trying to impress each other or trying to scare away a competitor or an intruder. Some of the sounds are just like incidental sounds of eating. So parrotfish scraping away at the corals or sea urchins scraping away. So some of it is deliberate, some of it not, but all of it put together means that you've got this huge underwater orchestra really making some phenomenal sounds.
And so speak to us about the connection between the existence of those sounds and having a healthy coral reef and how one can encourage the other.
Yeah, right. So we got interested in listening to coral reefs because we discovered that when almost all animals come back from really early development in the plankton, they use sound as a way of finding the coral reef that they're going to make their home. So all these larval fish, larval clams, oysters, corals, crabs, lobsters, the whole lot are all using sound as a way of picking the right place to live. And so if you've got a healthy coral reef with all of the noise it produces, then it creates this, it's broadcasting the health of that environment to animals that might want to come and make it their home.
And if that noise isn't there or is greatly reduced, then perhaps those larval creatures won't go there.
Yeah, that's the tragic thing. We've been working on the Great Barrier Reef, and in 2016, we went back to the Northern Great Barrier Reef after a really intense coral bleaching event that killed most of the corals, and the reef had gone quiet. You know, lots of the animals were missing. The reef really looked like a graveyard. It was pretty devastating to see. But when we put our hydrophones in the water, we realized that we couldn't hear it either. And in experiments where we tested whether fish or other animals would be attracted by that sound, no longer were they interested.
So the use of these kind of sounds, is it to, if you like, repopulate the likes of the Great Barrier Reef, or you can almost start from scratch with one?
Well, that's really where we've turned that first kind of devastating research on its head. And we've said, well, if we can play back healthy coral reef recordings and attract animals, we can actually try to accelerate recovery. So if you build a restoration reef, so you might build that out of artificial materials, but put corals onto those materials, onto those structures, and then you put a loudspeaker next to it, you can call fish in and start to build the community at a much faster rate. And actually, you're really interested in calling in some of the fish that are going to come and graze the seaweeds. So normally when a reef starts to recover, it's a race to try and get the corals growing ahead of the seaweeds that otherwise are going to shade out all the corals. And if you can bring in the herbivore fish, the kind of lawn mowers of the reef, then you've got a really good chance of that restoration reef working.
Mm. Are there particular sets of sounds that fit particular corals?
Yes, there are. We don't know all those answers. That's one of the really exciting kind of areas that we're exploring at the moment with a big reef DJ project, where we're trying to, first of all, understand which animal makes each sound. There's just the most bizarre sounds that you get in your recordings, and we've no idea what animals make them. The most recent recordings we took, we've come across a fish that's got a pub laugh. You know, the kind of deep kind of laugh that you hear across a crowded pub. That kind of thing. And we've no idea which fish makes it, but it's so it's an adventure trying to find who's making the sounds. But then when we play back different mixes of these recordings, we can then find out which animals are attracted by different sounds. So we can start to be selective about which parts of the reef community we bring in first, and then gradually build that community up with the right sorts of species.
Right, okay. And I suppose you also have to be mindful, and as far as you can, that it's not false advertising, or you're not scaring other fish off with, oh my God, pub laugh guy is over there.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to be scaring things away, and you also don't want to be conning animals to come and settle into an area that they're not going to survive. So, you know, particularly if you've built some new reef and you know that it's well protected, lots of good hiding spaces, then actually it's the best possible place for those fish to come and make their home. They just wouldn't find it until it's making the sound. Yeah. So we're giving it a kickstart.
Is there anything else you have to do? Is it just build it and have the sound and they will come?
That's certainly what we've been finding so far. I mean, you definitely need to think about what, you know, what kind of a structure you're building. Is it going to be able to, well, the biggest thing is, what is the reason for that reef not being there at the moment? If it's something local, like it's been hit by a ship, or there's been sediment pouring out of a river or a pollution event, then so long as you've really tackled that kind of very local problem, then that reef's got a really good chance of recovering. Of course, lots of the reefs are actually suffering because of the much bigger threats of climate change. So that's where we're being quite selective about where we're putting restoration reefs in, to make sure that they're near to deeper water, cooler water, areas where they've got the best chance of surviving the next few decades while we really try and tackle climate change.
Is this kind of idea being used to try and repopulate anything else? I'd imagine there's areas above above ground that it might be useful for as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, certainly some of the kind of forest restoration ecologists are using sound both to try and attract animals into the environment, or even there's a technique called acoustic anchoring, where if you release a species of bird, say, that has been lost from a woodland, is so long as it can hear its own species, it's likely to stay there. So it won't go and find it. It might just know that that species exists in the forest. And that way, with an acoustic anchor, you can keep the ones that you're releasing.
Steve, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Professor Steve Simpson there. He's Professor of Marine Biology and Global Change at the University of Bristol. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on Newstalk. We're going to take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.